Lynn Hiles Ministries presents Dr. Lynn Hiles, That You Might Have Life. And here's your host, Dr. Lynn Hiles.
Promised land. We're crossing over into a spiritual promised land called the New Covenant and called rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, because this is the pivotal point where everything's about to be changed. If this stuff's still in our future, we're in real trouble, aren't we? In other words, you know, if he wasn't, I'm doing all the talking here. I'm going to let you jump back in. But really, if he's, you know, that these are some of the most redemptive prophetic words that happened during this 7 years of anything. Mainstay. I mean, that's some powerful redemptive stuff that Daniel prophesied would happen, make an end of sin, bring in everlasting righteousness.
That's how you know who the true God is.
Yes. And if it's still in our future, we're still in our sin.
If it's still in our future, then this stuff didn't work.
It didn't work.
And we have big problems.
Yes, sir. And that's where everybody discredits.
That's right. All right. But there's still more to go.
Yeah, go
still
ahead.
More to go, because not everything that was determined there happened during this time
frame.
Right. Now, we do know in Daniel 26 that the Messiah is cut off in the middle of the 70th week. But there was other things that were determined here besides that, you know, like war and the destruction of the city and the end and all stuff, which were determined but didn't happen then. Mm-hmm. And we'll see that in a minute. But they were decreed, you know, to happen back then. Now, how do we know that that's true? And that's because that the word determine is in the Hebrew, if I'm pronouncing this right, chartis, means determined or decreed. And in Daniel 11, verse 36, it says that for what has been determined must take place. So it puts that in a futuristic standpoint. So it doesn't mean it has to take place within that. But there would be another time prophecy that Daniel would be given where we'll pick up on that. But let's just finish this up. So in the middle of the final week here, the Messiah is cut off. That means he is crucified. And that, this is part of the putting an end of sacrifice and sin. Again, this is restoration type language that is being used here. Yep. And the purpose clauses to finish transgression, to make an end of sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy. Listen, you think an Antichrist can do that?
No.
And you know who most people put in this prophecy? The Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Antichrist in this.
Mm-mm.
None.
Yeah.
No Antichrist can do that.
No, see, I can't see how anybody could ever twist that to be an Antichrist.
That's what it's done. That's that's what we were talking about earlier in our last program about additions.
Yeah.
There's no Antichrist in this.
No. This is one of the most strong redemptive messianic prophecies in the Old Testament. Speaking of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. And, with a time frame on it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, doesn't it say even in Daniel, until Messiah the Prince? Like 70 weeks or term, until...
To the anointed one.
Yeah, to the anointed one.
Yeah. So we're there. All right, now, so we have Jesus crucified in the middle of the 70th week. Mm-hmm. That still leaves 3.5 years that to happen.
Yeah.
What happened during this 3.5 years? Nothing. Much. You know why?
Because God was still locked into this time period of dealing with the Jews.
Yeah. So we got Jesus coming back after his resurrection, and in Acts 1:8, telling his disciples that they would be that he's going to descend into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
Yeah.
In the Great Commission, he says that you will. He commands them to make disciples of all nations, and then you know in AD 70 he's crucified and they're shocked, you know, and then the 3 days later he's.
In AD 70, he wasn't crucified.
Excuse me. Did I say he was?
Yeah,
excuse me. Excuse me. Thank you. AD 30, in the middle of the 70th week.
Yeah.
And he's resurrected, and he appears to them, and is ascended, and all that.
So in the middle of this.
But what do they do here in the 3.5 years after that? They stay in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
They don't go to Samaria.
Gentiles, right.
They don't go to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. They don't go out and preach. Why not? Because the time, as you said, that was determined upon the Jews, 490 years, was not yet over.
Right. They're still locked into the scope of this 490
because of Jewish supremacy, Jewish preeminence.
That's right. They have that to them first,
to the Jews first.
Yeah.
The event that marks the end of the time determined upon the Jews, 490 years, is in Acts 8, verse 5, when Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed Christ there. Mm-hmm. How could he do this? Jesus had told him, do not go in the way of the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Did he not? Do not go into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Matthew 10, verses 5 through 6. How could Philip go down there and start preaching to the half-breeds in Samaria?
Yeah.
The answer is the time frame that was the time that was determined upon the Jews, that time frame was now over, and the gospel was now freed to go to the Gentiles. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yep.
Hallelujah. If that hadn't happened yet, the gospel hadn't gone to us.
Come to us, exactly. You know, I was thinking too, John, I don't know if this fits in there or not, but we talked last night at dinner, and I said, you know, why 490 years? Why would God say 490 years? And then, man, the scripture hit me back some time ago when they asked Jesus, how oft should a man forgive? And he says, until 70 times 7, 490. So what God was doing was literally giving the Jews 70 times 7 to repent and come to their Messiah. He literally, not only 70 times 7, which is the 490, a man must forgive until 70 times 7, but that's a multiple of jubilees. And Jesus' first public message was, he sent me to declare the acceptable year of the Lord, which was the year of jubilee. And he closed the scripture, said, this day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears, because the jubilee was being offered to them, but they were about to miss again.
But, Lynn, isn't it amazing how all this fits together?
It is amazing.
When you keep it within its divinely ordained time frame of the appointed time of the end. Now, we aren't to the appointed time of the end yet.
Right.
We're just working up to it.
We're getting there. Let me just say this too before you jump in back here. Again, not only comes where Philip is with the Ethiopian, so he's baptizing, you know, he's baptizing a Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
But you've also got, you know, when Stephen is being stoned to death, there stands there a guy by the name of Saul of Tarsus holding the coats, consenting to his death, who God is marking at probably about that time to become one of the greatest apostles to the Gentiles, which just in a short period of time, he would be knocked to the ground, and God would say, okay, it's lights out now. Jerusalem and the Jews have had their full time.
That's right.
And so now it's lights out, and it's time now to offer it to the Gentiles and to the rest of the world.
That's right. That's right. But during this 3.5 years, they did not depart Jerusalem.
Yeah.
They stayed in Jerusalem until the time period was over.
Now, this is the part, isn't it, that most people think is still in the future. They put a gap here somewhere.
That's correct. They say this hadn't happened. And this is the Antichrist who makes a covenant.
That's
hey, Antichrist don't make covenants. If anything, they break them.
Yeah.
Then there's no Antichrist in Daniel.
Yeah. Yep.
There's no Antichrist in Revelation.
No.
There's no Antichrist in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
The only place you'll find the Antichrist, which we'll get to that when we get later into Matthew, is in John 1, or excuse me, 1 John and 2 John.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that when we get there. But let's put that on hold for. All right, so now we're into the final week.
Wanted to make clear that they say the 7 years is in our future. We're telling you it's exactly chronological in sequence.
That's why we have the gospel.
That's right. That's what makes
because this was a time determined upon the Jews.
And
no
if
gap.
This didn't happen, we're in our sin.
Well, yeah,
because there was no. He didn't make an end of sin. He didn't bring in everlasting righteousness. If that's true. But we believe it's true. He did make an end of sin. Right. He did bring in everlasting life.
So not only did Philip go down and to Samaria and start preaching Christ then, but the Jewish church sent Peter and John back up to Samaria as a support team.
Mm-hmm.
Because why? Because the time that was determined upon the Jews, 490 years, was now over and the gospel was freed to go to the Gentiles. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, thus, to recap, Lamb, 457, if you could put your thing on 457. This was when the decree of Artaxerxes commenced.
Mm-hmm.
The time frame, the starting point for Daniel's 470 years. It was determined in AD 30 at the cross.
Mm-hmm.
It was confirmed by the new covenant for 3.5 years before the cross, Jesus' earthly ministry, and 3.5 years after the cross while they stayed in Jerusalem awaiting the completion of the time frame, and was concluded in AD 34 or somewhere thereabouts afterwards when the gospel was now freed to go to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. So the entire prophecy, Lynn, transpired over an uninterrupted 490-year period, and no valid rationale exists for interrupting any of the time frames, either interrupting this one or this one, or this one. No valid rationale whatsoever, and inserting gaps, elongating weeks, postponing, delaying, minimizing, tampering, or any of the other so-called exegetical gymnastics that numerous scholars have tried to put on this. The fact is, what we're dealing with is precise chronological sequential fulfillment. Isn't that just like God?
I think
God?
It's incredible. No tricks.
No tricks. Again, I want to refer to what Klein, Bloomberg, and Hubbard had said. The historically defensible interpretation has the greatest authority.
Mm-hmm. Because it can be proven. We've seen
right.
that this absolutely
that
has, occurred.
That doesn't mean, ladies and gentlemen, that you'll believe this. But it is historically defensible.
Yes. Without any, I mean, there's no gaps, there ain't no clause in Daniel where it says, well, now, if this don't happen right and that don't fit together, then we'll hold this for another 7 years out in the future. After 1,900 years, 2,000 years and counting, we're going to hold this last 7 years for some future. It's just not biblical.
Now,
see, I would think that would be incredibly good news, though. I don't know why people would not just be shouting, listening to us today.
Because, it gets gooder.
Yeah,
it
I
gets
know.
Gooder.
It,
we're not done.
Yeah, I know.
We're not done. We're not done.
Yeah.
We got more to go.
But, I mean, it's just, to me, be incredible. Some people sitting there probably have been scared, even recently, by some of the recent stuff that's going on, with scare tactics with the gospel. But the truth of it is that ought to rejoice. The seven-year tribulation is not in your future. It was fulfilled just like God said.
You know, in the book of Luke, where Jesus was explaining all the things to his disciples about him in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
which this is Old Testament.
Yeah, yeah.
And it says their hearts burned within them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think maybe that he was going through this time chart?
I think he's probably talking about a whole lot of stuff concerning himself. Saying this is, I wouldn't doubt it.
You know, I mean,
he said, "I am the Messiah that was to come."
This is the main stuff.
I hope it gives somebody listening to us the heartburn.
All right, now
I like to call it heartburn. You know,
now
our hearts burned within.
Even with all this,
yeah,
there's more.
Yeah,
there was a lot more that had been decreed or determined that remained to be accomplished,
yeah.
which brings us to the next major specific time prophecy
mm-hmm.
in Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
But this first time prophecy establishes the front bookend of the time frame known as the last days.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 1:2 says, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son.
Yeah.
And there, by inspiration, the writer of Hebrews affixes two specific events
yeah.
to the biblical time frame known as the last days.
Yeah.
Number one, the time of Jesus' yeah. earthly ministry, and the time he was writing in, which was about 65, 66 mm-hmm. A.D., which would be right up here.
And again, the apostle, or we believe it was the apostle Paul, wrote Hebrews, said, God hath, past tense, and these last days, again, that's last days terminology, spoke to us by Son.
Yes.
So he includes the Messiah being in the last days.
Yes.
Not 2,000 years from then, but...
No, and the time he's writing in,
yeah.
which was about right around here.
Right, right.
65 to 67
yep.
A.D.?
Yep.
The last days.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Hold on to that thought. Okay, so that's now go into Daniel's... second major time
okay.
prophecy, Daniel chapter 12.
Mm-hmm.
And let me pick it up there. Again, this is the front bookend of the last days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to profess this is the back bookend
mm-hmm.
of the last days. All right, here we go. Let's start. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be time of distress, such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Now, your people, Daniel's talking about the Jews in Babylonian captivity.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel's writing this during the time of Babylonian captivity. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Lynn, we're talking about resurrection here.
Mm-hmm.
At that time,
mm-hmm.
resurrection. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of heavens, but those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the, what does your version say?
Time of the end.
Not end of time,
mm-mm.
time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase in knowledge. Isn't it interesting that here, Lynn, Daniel's told the scroll to seal up? And in the book of Revelation, which I'm sure you've gotten to, John is told not to seal
his... Don't seal it up, yeah.
Why do you think that is so?
Because Daniel wasn't in the time of the end, but John was.
Hello?
Yeah. And he also says in the beginning of the book of Revelation, these things are about to shortly come to pass, and they which pierce me will look upon me. And
that's because they were here.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting there.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, hold on. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river. Now listen, most normal human beings don't stand above waters on a river.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking angels here.
Mm-hmm.
How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? Now, Lynn, just the asking of that question shows us that some of these things that were determined back here at the cross and before that would happen after the first 69 weeks of years, not all those will happen. Just the asking of that question shows you that he's asking you how long before all these things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
This had happened.
Yeah.
That was set in place in Daniel 9:26, mm-hmm. but these other things hadn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
So he asked that question. The man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand and lifted his left hand toward heaven. Now, Jews, when they would swear, now when we're talking swear, we're not talking speaking nasty words. You know,
we're talking about taking an oath.
Covenant. Usually they just raise one hand.
Yeah.
But this one is double swear.
Yeah.
You know, two hands up in the air. I mean, that means, hey, this is real important. Toward heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a times and a half time. Now, we can go into that some other time. I have in the book, but that's how the Jews tell time. It was, you know, a yearly thing.
Yeah.
Where you circle, every year you circle. So time, 1 year, times, 2 years, and a half time, that's 3.5 year period. Mm-hmm. How long was the Jewish-Roman War, 66 or 70, 80?
3.5 years, right?
Yep.
See, the Amplified actually translates like that, and it shall be for 3.5 years. So, you know,
that's why.
Yeah.
That's why they translate it like that. Now, this is real important. This next portion of Daniel gives us the defining characteristic in the historical setting for the one and only appointed time of the end. There are not two appointed times of the end. There's not a partial and a ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
There's one appointed time of the end. So here's the defining characteristic in the historical setting. Given to us by inspiration, given to Daniel by inspiration from God for the appointed time. It would be when the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed.
Mm-hmm.
What was the power, Lynn, of the holy people?
It's their exclusive relationship with God, I believe, and their temple. Yeah.
As manifested by the temple complex, which had been destroyed, and they were in Babylonian captivity. But they would come back through Zechariah and Zerubbabel and
rebuild during these times.
Rebuild during that time. Mm-hmm. And in Jesus' time, we have the temple.
Mm-hmm.
That was the manifestation of the Jews' exclusive relationship with Jehovah God.
Yeah.
All right. That was the power. And it would be finally broken. Mm-hmm. And notice that word finally.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't happen in just one event.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a process of being broken.
Mm-hmm.
And that power, that exclusive relationship with God, when do you think maybe that power started to be broken?
I'm going to let you answer that. I would say whenever the war began, whenever it began to...
How about before that? How about with Jesus' birth?
Yeah.
Or maybe his...
Or when he was about to be offered, well, I guess even...
Or how about at the cross?
Yeah, exactly. And when,
or how about, you know, at the start of his earthly ministry when he was anointed in the Jordan River?
Mm-hmm.
Or when he sent the Holy Spirit back?
Mm-hmm.
You see, all this was a part.
Process. In other words, it was not
one event.
Yeah. It was him including the Gentiles as part of, because now it's not just exclusive.
That's right. So it was a process.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be finally broken when all these things will be completed.
Mm-hmm.
And the writer of Hebrews tells us, I believe it's in Hebrews 8:30, those things that have been made obsolete will soon pass away.
Mm-hmm.
Paul tells us this present world is passing away, and many other verses, that the final act of this, the power of the holy people being broken, would be when that old covenant animal sacrifice blood temple system would be left desolate.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get to that when we get to the New Testament, which we're going to next,
mm-hmm.
and how the New Testament is in perfect harmony with all this.
Perfect harmony.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Mathematically precise.
Mm-hmm.
Divine perfection. Perfect. All right. That is, when the power of the holy people has been finally broken, Lynn, all these things will be, not some of these things, not some of these things partially fulfilled,
mm-hmm.
with an ultimate fulfillment. No, they'll all be fulfilled. This is the appointed time.
That's right, yeah.
The appointed time of the end.
Mm-hmm.
He replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end." That's the second time he's told him that.
Mm-hmm.
And in John's time,
it was not sealed up because it was the time of the end.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's amazing to me.
When many will be purified and made spotless and refined. When did that happen? Well, the old covenant couldn't do that. It couldn't cleanse the consciousness of sinners. This is the new covenant economy. But the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand. Maybe if we don't understand this,
it might put us in the wrong group.
We're in the wrong group. But those who are wise will understand.
Mm-hmm.
From the time... Okay, now here's the time frame. So we had a time frame here.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, God does everything with a plan, purpose, a time frame, and mathematical precision. So here's the time frame here. From the time the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days.
Mm-hmm.
As for you, go your way until the end. You will rest, and at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Lynn, that's talking to Daniel about his own resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
That would happen.
Yep.
At this end.
Yeah.
Not 1,900 years from then,
mm-hmm.
but at this end.
Mm-hmm.
Precisely like he said it would happen.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's get to the starting point. The starting point would be from the time the daily sacrifice is abolished. Josephus records that in July of 66 A.D., as part of the Jewish rebellion against Rome, Jewish zealots stormed Jerusalem and burned the palace of Agrippa and Bernice. They also burned the palace of the Jewish high priest Annas and killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And they massacred a whole garrison of Roman soldiers. And to top it all off, they stopped performing the twice daily temple sacrifice for Caesar and Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Both the Jews and the Romans viewed that as a formal, that cessation of the sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
because that was part of the arrangement.
I see.
As a declaration of war.
Mm-hmm.
From the time the daily sacrifice is stopped,
mm-hmm.
be 1,290 days. 1,290 days later, there was a major desolation inside the temple where thousands of worshipers and priests were killed. Jews,
mm-hmm.
killing other Jews.
Turning on each other. Yeah.
45 days later, Titus sets up the three camps 3 miles outside of Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem, one on the Mount of Olives, sets up his camps. That would be, I'm going to suggest, the final abomination of desolation.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel talked about many.
Mm-hmm.
This would be the pinnacle one,
mm-hmm.
the final one.
Mm-hmm.
That's when that took place. And the worshipers inside, or the Jews inside, were killing each other, burning their own storehouses. Josephus says a madness swept through the Jews. That they actually destroyed, you know, their abominations,
mm-hmm.
and desolations. But the final one would be when the Romans began their siege. And in April of AD 70, the fourth and final siege surrounding Jerusalem, from the time Jesus said, you will see Jerusalem, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, flee, get out. Well, this was the fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
All Christians by that time had fled because they had obeyed Jesus. And we'll talk about that, mm-hmm. when we get into the New Testament aspect of this. This is the fourth and final siege. In September, it was over. The temple was actually burned on August 30th, we think, and then September, and then the Romans began the dismantling process in fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy that not one stone would be left on another. And this, Lynn, is the defining characteristic and historical setting for the one and only appointed time of the end. It would be when the power of the holy people has finally been broken. All these things will be accomplished. So how does this time frame and this mathematical precision fit in with the New Testament?
We probably need to pick that up on the next segment.
Well, the answer is perfectly.
Perfectly.
Perfectly. Perfect harmony. Isn't that just like God?
To me, it's incredible.
How have we missed this?
Yeah.
How have we missed this for so long?
Yeah.
What price are we paying for not realizing how good our faith really is?
Yeah. That everything that was supposed to happen occurred just like Daniel said. And you can see that we have not gapped, added anything. These things fit the dates of exactly what happened. The 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy occurred just like he said it would happen, without any gaps, gimmicks, or theories. And from here on, there was a 40-year, we'll talk about that probably in the next, there was a 40-year gap here.
Not a gap, but a 40-year time frame.
But the last 3.5 years, or the 1,200 some days, the 42 months, all of that was occurring right after, during this time, when the power of the holy people was finally broken and God brought an end of that old covenant and birthed the new one. We're out of time. Folks, we got just a few seconds. Call that number on the screen. Tune in next week and join us again as we continue this conversation. God bless you.
For anyone struggling to understand John's writings in Revelation, this book provides true, biblically based answers. Through detailed insights into the letters John wrote to the seven churches of his day, you will learn how to avoid the mistakes of the early church to overcome today's trials and tribulations. This book will provoke you to thought and dialogue, bringing greater clarity and revelation of Jesus Christ.